This is Deacon Steve Greco, and I'm radio host of the show Empowered by the Spirit. I've recently written a book, Expect and Experience Miracles, that is available on Amazon. And the reason we did that is because the Lord Jesus Christ wants to shower us with His love and shower us with His grace, which is unmerited favor. The definition of miracle is God's supernatural intervention in our lives. And Jesus does that all the time. Let's be open to it. Expect miracles, and you will see the grace that God has in store for you. God bless you all.
This is John Romero, music director at Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. We are 1 year away from the dedication of our beautiful cathedral, and we have some spectacular concerts available to you. Check them all out at ChristCathedralMusic.org or on our Facebook page, Christ Cathedral Music. We'd love to see you here.
Christ Cathedral Concerts. Great music in a sacred place. For tickets, visit ChristCathedralMusic.org.
Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. We are high atop the Tower of Hope here in beautiful Christ Cathedral. And you are on Empowered by the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit fill your heart. I have to tell you, I feel like this is one of the greatest Christmas presents I've ever received. And it's not Christmas, but I have someone here in our studio who I have to say is the embodiment of the Holy Spirit of Jesus for me. He's on fire with the Lord. And it's Father Francis Vu. Welcome to the show, Father.
Thank you, Deacon Steve.
And Father, you, I get to see you because you are a chaplain at UCI, correct?
Yes.
And that is so important to, in this day and age, really the spirituality of college students. I guess it's always been that way, but it seems like it's even more critical today. Your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, when you talk about spirituality, well, let's say this. Students themselves, when they come to college, I mean, you know, they just get out from high school. You think that they have their own spirituality? You think that they understand what spirituality is about?
Exactly.
So the thing is that, you know, well, the first thing is just makes them feel that, you know, well, there is a place for them to come. And then, you know, then help them to basically to discover that there is God, that who is always there and who is always willingly to listen and to be present to their lives.
And it's all about love. You know, and what I get from you, Father,
yes,
and this is so critical. My brothers and sisters, again, you're Empowered by the Spirit. Father Francis Vu, who is a chaplain at UCI here in Orange County, University of California, Irvine. People want to feel loved. They want to be part of the community, right?
Yeah, we always, you know, want to have that experience. And since love is a big part. But the problem here is that, you know, how do they know that they have such a thing they call what, you know, the power of that love in them? And how to exercise that power of love, you know, in their own daily, you know, situation in and out, you know, in college, you know, in school, in the classroom and all of that.
So many of you listening here on our radio network have college students or young adults, perhaps living at home, or even if they're not, and maybe they're not going to church at all because so many of them don't go.
Well, let me give you one story, Deacon Steve.
Sure.
I had a student who just, you know, recently graduated from UCI 4 years ago. When he first came to UCI, he did not know anything about what, you know, the Catholics, you know, community in our place at all. He was baptized, you know, as a Catholic, grew up in a family, you know, that where mom and dad, well, a part of that because of parents, they don't often go to the church. And then so, you know, basically he was not familiar with, you know, his faith at all. And so the first week, you know, he intended to try to look for a club to join. And he went around And then he was told that, you know, well, there was a club for your major, you know, as an engineer. It's just very, very close to where you are. And so he went around, and then he just landed it right in my office without knowing, you know, what it is. And so he thought that it was, you know, the place that they would hold a meeting. And then when he sat down there, he just realized that it was not the right place. It was just, you know, wow, he got into a wrong meeting place.
But it was what God wanted.
Well, you know, it was an RCIA class. And then the kid, you know, wow, he was very polite. And so, wow, you know, the first night he tried to be, you know, be kind and be polite. He sat there for the whole period. And then, you know, wow, he was thinking about, well, next time I come back, and then they will tell to the priest that, you know, well, this is not the right place that I want to go. And then so, you know, he decided to come back the second time, you know, a week, you know, after that. And then a week after that, and then finally after 1 month, and then he said to everybody in that group, he said that, you know, well, this is what I wanted it to be. I never planned, you know, to be in this place. And then he wanted it to be in that class because he said, well, you know, I haven't done my confirmations. And so here, you know, I sat now with my students and then with my, you know, all the people who helped me. And then all of a sudden they realized that, you know, this kid didn't blend right from the beginning. And then he landed it in that place. And that's how it went.
My brothers and sisters, if we take a look at John 15:16, it says, it's not you who called me, but I who called you and appointed you to bear fruit that will remain. You are being called right now to say yes to Jesus. No matter what your age is, you're being called to be anointed by the Holy Spirit, blessed by the Holy Spirit, filled by the Holy Spirit. And you are called to be loved unconditionally. One of my favorite scriptures is Romans 8:1 that says there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus.
Exactly.
So many people feel ashamed or have shame, or they feel condemned by their parents or whatever it might be. What really strikes me, Father, in just being part of observing your ministry and what you do, is that you really love them unconditionally, because, you know, it's hard. I mean, being a college student today is incredibly hard.
Deacon Steve, one of the most challenging experiences we have right now is that the students that are coming to UCI, the generation the last 2 years, were not the same group that I had, you know, 5 years ago.
Oh, interesting.
You know what happened? Within just 5 years, and it was totally like, you know, a different cultures.
Unbelievable. Well,
the reason was 5 years ago, when the students came to our community, they liked to hang out more. Mm-hmm. They liked, you know, wow, genuinely. They wanted it to, you know, wow, you know, it's just a natural desire to be together, but not these generations. The last 2 years, I just discovered that, you know, while they were less, you know, wanting to have a kind we call communal, you know, celebrations. Mm-hmm. They were not toward it to what we call communal, you know, orientations. You know why?
No.
Because why? Everything that they have was right on their hands.
Exactly. Technology, right?
Technology.
Right, right. They're not used to community.
They cannot detach themselves from what you know that.
Wow.
And so, and then when I discovered that, and I realized that, oh my goodness, how can I distract them, you know, or help them to just detach themselves from that, you know, that toy, so that he can be, or they can be a little more, you know, with a real, we call the real life.
Amen.
With friends, with Amen. People we call, like, you know, who care for them, and then things that they can step out from themselves.
Amen.
How can they do that? And so, the first thing I did was, Deacon Steve, you know what? I sacrificed myself. I never touch my phone when I am around with my students. Ever.
Awesome.
They never see me having, you know, the cell phone or anything like that, you know, around me. I had it, but then, you know, while, you know, I respect them enough, I just want them know that, you know, when they're there, that's it. They are important to me.
And it's so critical that they turn the phone off, that they learn how to communicate with one, to love one another.
When
right?
they come to the church, you know, through their friends, the first thing they experienced was that, you know, wow, this is awesome, Father. You know, wow, you know what? We have a group of people. You're standing right in front of the church, welcoming them, give them a big hug, tell them that, you know, wow, they are important enough to come here, and they are important enough, you know, to be here with us. And so from the beginning until what the end of the Mass, until when they part the group, we basically, you know, I told all the students who helped me, said that don't have the cell phone with you. Don't use
That's
your phone.
Awesome.
Detach yourself from that. And so for the last, at least more than, you know, well, 7 years, I never, ever have any experience that during the Mass that we would hear the phone rings.
That's fantastic.
In church.
That's fantastic. And that people have to learn about priorities and have to learn about community. Well, tell us about your background in terms of where you came from and about your personal yes to the Lord.
Well, you know, as deacon, you know that I'm a Sheshit. And so,
which is awesome. Amen. But how did you become, how did you decide to become a priest? And tell us about that and then about becoming a Jesuit.
Well, I never think about what, you know, becoming a priest at all.
Okay.
You know, and, you know, like any typical, you know, young students today, you know, that was not occur in my mind at all.
Where were you located at that time?
At that time, let me see, you know, I came to, United States. In the late, around 1980.
Okay.
And I had 2 years in the East Coast before I moved to California.
Good decision.
In San Jose, in North
and
California.
And where did you get that calling? In San Jose, or?
I always felt like, you know, well, there was something in me that I wanted to face a challenge. You know, I wanted to try, you know, everything. But there was one thing that I always felt like, you know, well, it's not going for me, you know, like vocation to be a priest, or it was for somebody else. It wouldn't fit me.
Right.
And so I never give myself that chance until what I made the spiritual exercises, the retreat, you know,
awesome.
Ignatian retreat.
Right.
And then over, you know, after that retreat, I realized that I have a desire. There was a desire deep in myself that there was something more about God, about, you know, wow, the mystery of who I am, you know, before the Lord. And I wanted to find out more and more about that. I knew a lot of things about God, but then, you know, it doesn't mean that I understand anything that, you know, that I knew. And so the grace came, and then slowly I spent time, you know, to pay attention more about my desire. And then I realized that, you know, wow, there was a call to, you know, to serve.
And it's so important, my brothers and sisters, to listen to the Lord, to have that yearning to say yes to Him, because He's whispering in your ear. And for those that perhaps are hearing God's voice right now, but they're not responding to it, what would you say to them?
Well, you know, tell them that, you know, well, just allow yourself to be generous. I often, you know, say this to my students. I say that, you know, well, vocation is also a choice among many choices. You kept thinking that there is something that even not a choice. Consider that as a choice and give yourself a chance, you know, to listen to that. And then, you know, I help them to understand one thing, the desire deep in themselves, the wanting to do more, something that you want to, you know, while step out from your own little world, your own little, you know, while just, we call it, you know, a safety blanket. Allow yourself to have a chance, you know, to talk to somebody, to be in touch with somebody, to be a part of the real world. And so, believe it or not, deacon, you know, we have about 16 vocations.
Wow.
From our community.
The
Ignatian, UCI.
The Jesuit community. Or through UCI.
Through UCI.
Oh, that's
the students.
Incredible.
The students.
That's awesome. We're going to find out more when we come right back from our break about these vocations at UCI, and again, to talk more about that knocking, because God is knocking at the door for some of you listening in on this radio show. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We are on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be right back.
Prayer is powerful. Hi, this is Bishop Tan Nguyen of the Diocese of Orange. And prayer to God through the Blessed Mother is even more powerful. Let's pray right now for an end to abortion in our country. Let's pray 100 million memorare this year for an end to abortion and the protection of human life. from the moment of conception to natural death. If we pray one memorare an hour, we will reach our goal by the end of the year. So let us pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired with this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin, O Virgin, our Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful, O Mother of thy Word incarnate. Despise not my petition, but in thy clemency hear and answer me. Amen.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We are back here on Empowered by the Spirit with Father Francis Vu, a Jesuit chaplain at UCI, University of California, Irvine. And he was right before the break talking about vocations, and we were talking about that whisper that God has. And out of UCI, there was how many vocations so far?
Well, so far we have 16.
Wow.
And then, you know, well, among 16, we have five vocations, you know, for young women.
Awesome.
And then the rest, you know, while we would say that, you know, for both religious community as well as the diocesan priest.
That is so fantastic.
And two of them, you know, will be ordained next year here in our diocese.
Oh, praise the Lord. That is so fantastic. So obviously, I really feel very strongly about this. It is about encouragement. It is about letting people create an environment in which they encounter the risen Christ. They encounter the joy of the Lord. How do you do that? I mean, how do you encourage these vocations? What do you do?
Well, the first thing, to tell them that, you know, well, God is a real God.
Amen. Amen.
And how can you find that real God in your real life?
Amen.
You have to be real to people.
And so many times now, people, religion, well, you know, it's not, it's kind of there, but I have to get a job, I have to get married, I have to do all these things, and all these conflicts are there, but you never go wrong saying yes to Jesus.
Well, I always tell them that when they ask me a question, why do you want to become a priest? Why do you want to become a Jesuit? And then instead of finding the reason for it, and then you know what I say to them? Why not?
Exactly.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Give me a reason why, you know, you're not going to be, you know, that person, or you're not going to be, you know, well, in that call. And so, you know, there is no reason, because it boils down one thing. Do you have enough gut or generosity to be open enough and to say that within, even you don't consider yourself to be worthy, to be, you know, holy, or oh, that's not, you know, my type of, you know, wanting to be. Even that, do you have enough freedom to do things that you normally don't like to do? If you have that enough freedom inside of you, then you're free.
Amen. Amen.
And then when you are free enough to let that experience to be guided by God, then you certainly be free enough to understand that there's a lot of things that you wanted to do, but you've never considered about that. And among them is vocation. And so that's how it started, you know, for these young men and women that I worked with. And then through the sacrament of reconciliation, through the sacrament of what we call the Eucharist, and all of that is a part of their life, and prayer. A lot of times, you know, people think that, you know, well, prayer is just, you know, for holy people, and then prayer is a set of formula. You have to set time, you have to go to Mass, and you have to do this and that in order, you know, to pray. I said that, no. It's simple. You know what? Sometimes, see, Deacon Steve, you know, one of the things about a prayer is this. At the end of the confessions, I always ask my students, they always ask me, Father, what do you want me to do for my penance? I said that, you know, well, I want you to consider this word, to celebrate the sacrament.
Praise God.
Because there's so much joy and freedom for you to come and to encounter God in the reconciliation. So how do you want to celebrate the sacrament? So the first thing I wanted you to do is this, be grateful to God. And then don't hesitate to go back to those moments that you were so close to God. Allow yourself to be present to that moment again, again, and again. Yeah. And then secondly, I want you to consider some things that you normally do and bring God into it. Why don't you do this for me? On the way, when you walk from your apartment, from your dorm to your classroom, I want you to set just one moment and say this to the Lord. Dear Lord, my prayer to you is through my walking from here to my classroom. Every step that I have, that will be every prayer that I want to offer to you. Just be mindful for that.
That's so awesome. And it's experiencing the risen Christ. It's
yes.
Experiencing the love of God. My brothers and sisters, when you open up your heart, your soul to receive the love of Jesus, everything changes. And you want to serve him, you want to love him more, and you want to love his people more. For those in college and those that are young adults, the pressures of today are beyond comprehension. I know they're beyond even what I had. The pressures, financial pressures and cultural pressures and all the other issues. But I will say this, even though I chose a life in business and I was a healthcare executive and was very fortunate, that since I've been in full-time ministry, the value, the satisfaction, the joy surpasses by far anything that I ever did, no matter how much money I have, no matter what title I ever had, is meaningless in comparison to one person having their light shine, and to have that experience of the risen Christ, to turn their life to Jesus, is worth more than any other thing I ever did in business.
Of course.
And it's so important for people to understand, they're not giving something up to say yes to Jesus, whether they become religious or not. But when they say yes to Jesus, they get everything.
They get everything. Because basically at the end, they realize that they find themselves.
Amen.
They find themselves. And often enough, I said to my students, think about this. Instead of praying to the Lord, why don't you allow Jesus, who praying to the Father, who's praying in you?
Amen.
When you are sad, how often do you say this to God or to Jesus? Dear Lord, pray in me.
Amen.
You work with people who was very sad, who was basically, lost hope. The people who was considered as the outsiders of the society. The people who were sick, the people who was, basically being abandoned or being rejected by, the people around them. And grew out from that, you have compassion, you have mercy for them. And how about my soul at this moment? Be merciful. Be there and pray in my soul.
That's beautiful.
And then voice up the prayer that you would pray to the Father when you were on earth. Allow that right here and now, right now with me. And so that's how they prayed. I allowed them and I taught them to know how to pray that way.
My brothers and sisters, so many of you live in shame. So many of you live in discouragement, anxiety, in which you look at your life and have regret. So many women have had abortions and so many men have had affairs or have done things that they're ashamed of. But Jesus is calling them. What would you say to them?
Well, you make mistake, but you are not a mistake.
Amen.
When you come to the Lord will look at you and say that, it's very good. And so you make a mistake. Learn to rise up. Learn to do something more than just being in that mistake. But you are not a mistake. Evil spirit always, put a lot of guilt and a lot of reason to discourage you to come to the Lord.
Right.
Students come to me and say, Father, what is a reason? What is a rationality to confess the sin that I often enough, fall into that over and over again. And every time, and even I know that, maybe, 5 minutes from here, from after the confessions, and I will do it again. I said, please don't say that, because you seem to say to the Lord that you don't want to try. You condition yourself to be, in the old past. For God, it is not the past. It is a present moment. And so therefore, say that to God. The desire to bring me here for joy, to be liberated myself from your grace, with your grace. That is more important.
And Jesus has told us, behold, I make all things new.
Exactly.
And nothing is impossible with God. And so my brothers and sisters, as Father Francis Vu is saying, chaplain at UCI, no matter what you've done, Jesus is waiting for us with open arms. And it's like the parable of the prodigal son. The father is looking out, waiting, and all we need to do is move towards him.
I told people like this, maybe the same sin, but the understanding every time when you come to experience the mercy and the forgiveness of God is different. You'll be drawn more and more into that love and that mercy. And so therefore, maybe the same things, but the new understanding of your own experience of to be forgiven.
My brothers and sisters, we also have a spiritual mother, and I'm a caretaker of a beautiful statue. What is that statue? In my office.
Our Lady of Lavang.
Our Lady of Lavang. And you have a deep devotion to the Blessed Mother and Our Lady of Lavang.
Our community have a deep devotion to our Blessed Mother.
Yeah, and tell us about that. Tell us about why it's so important, I feel, to have that devotion to the Blessed Mother, have devotion to the Rosary, to allow her to intercede for us as a spiritual mother.
She knows Jesus, her son, better than anybody on earth. I ask the students, each time when you come to Mama Mary, that's a term to use.
Mama Mary.
Mama
absolutely.
Mary.
Yes.
Each time when you come to Mama Mary, you ask her one thing. Place me before Jesus, your son, because you love him more. And you know what I need to know about your son. There's a lot of things that I don't know about him.
Yes.
Help me. Help me to be the disciples like you.
And she has this tenderness, right?
The tenderness, the gentleness of always to be there.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things is that when you look in the gospel, and then I told the students too, I said that, you know, when look in the gospel, how often do we say about Mama Mary? Very rare. You don't see that in, you know, in much in the gospel.
Right.
But when you have any crucial moments, when Jesus has any things important enough in his life, she's there.
Yeah, absolutely. She's at the foot of the cross.
So she is in the scriptures.
Yeah.
She is with her son. And then she faithfully being with him, she's there when he was born.
Amen.
She was there when he took the last breath.
Amen.
She was there to witness the resurrections.
Amen. And she is in the upper room, Pentecost.
Upper room, Pentecost.
Yeah. Amen. Tell us about, in fact, we're going to learn about this right after our break. But, you know, it's fascinating to me to have various places around the world like Medjugorje and Lourdes and so forth, and how the Blessed Mother has appeared in those places to build up our spirituality. We see this in Fatima, you know, on the anniversary of Fatima and, you know, and the tours that we give and Spirit-Filled Hearts, we give pilgrimages. And one of them was to Lourdes and so forth, which is special. We're going to find out more right after the break about Our Lady of Lavang, because a lot of people outside the Vietnamese community perhaps are not aware of really the power of the Blessed Mother and what she did there in Our Lady of Lavang. So this is Deacon Steve Greco. We are on Empowered by the Spirit. We're going to be right back to talk more about college spirituality and the Blessed Mother. We'll be right back.
This is John Romero, the music director of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove. And this August 7th, we have a spectacular repeat performance of the Libra Boy Choir from London. And this boy choir, ages 7 through 16, is like no other you've ever heard. Last year's performance was completely sold out. Get your tickets early.
Christ Cathedral Concerts. Great music in a sacred place. For tickets, visit ChristCathedralMusic.org.
Would you like an opportunity to read and discuss inspiring books by bright Catholic authors? The OC Catholic Book Club offers quarterly book titles reviewed and chosen by Bishop Kevin Vann. Every 3 months, members gather to meet the author and hear informed commentary about the book by local church scholars. Membership in the OC Catholic Book Club includes 4 books and tickets to the author forums. For more information, visit occatholic.com/oc-catholic-book-club or call 714-282-3045.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we are back here on Empowered by the Spirit, high atop the Tower of Hope here in beautiful Christ Cathedral in the Diocese of Orange in Garden Grove, California, with one of my favorite priests of all time. And that is Father Francis Vu, who is the chaplain at UCI. And, you know, as I was kidding him a little bit, because I'm blessed to have him at our church, our parish, rather, St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, where he ministers out of that to the UCI students. He has blessed me with my being a caretaker of this beautiful statue of Our Lady of Lavang. For many of us who perhaps are not part of the Vietnamese culture, we don't understand the history of Our Lady of Lavang. And I think our radio audience would be very interested in hearing about that. So if you wouldn't mind to share us about that history.
Thank you, Deacon Steve. This year, in fact, that the Church in Vietnam celebrates what we call the anniversary of 30 years anniversary of the martyrs, the holy martyrs that were canonized as a saint, you know, by Pope John Paul II. Mm. And one of the things we learned was that the deep story of our faith, you know, always have a journey with our Blessed Mother. Mm. More than 200 years ago, she appeared to our ancestors to do just one thing, to console them, and then, you know, to tell them that in the midst of their own persecutions, she's always there. Mm. And whenever they want it, they can come, and then they can experience her presence. Mm-hmm. And her love and her care for them, her protection for them. During the time of, we call it persecutions, you know, Christians, you know, were forced, you know, to give up their faith. My ancestors, you know, went through the same things. Mm-hmm. And so we were put to death. They burned people collectively. And then sometimes, you know, they use, you know, different kinds of way of torturing, you know, people, make them to give up their faith. And when that didn't work, the other method was that, you know, to separate them from their family. And so mom and dad will be separated from the children, and the children will be placed in the family that where you don't have any Christian around, with the purpose of what making you to give up your own faith. And so in the midst of all of that, a lot of people ran away, and then they hide themselves in the forest. And that's where she appeared to them. She gave them the message of hope, of trust, perseverance, and most of all, telling them that in the midst of suffering, there is a joy of resurrections behind that.
Amen.
And so in Lavang, unlike any place or any places in the world that we so far, like, you know, in Lourdes or in Fatima or in different, you know, famous or well-known places, in Lavang, there was no message. It's only one thing. Mm. The experience of the presence.
Wow.
She did not ask them to do anything more than just being there with her.
Yeah.
And so finally, we learned a few things about that.
Mm-hmm.
There was not the message because there's nothing more to say. Everything is in the experience of being there with her. She taught them to be the disciple of Jesus, her son. She confirmed and affirmed their faith.
Mm.
Awesome. Telling them that, you know, well, precisely when they were so close with Jesus in that, you know, persecutions, they themselves placed themselves to be very closer to the one who loved them in the first place.
Mm.
And behind that, there was the resurrections.
Amen.
So the message was basically deep-rooted in the presence of Jesus in the scriptures. She taught them to be the disciples of Jesus.
And we're called to be missionary disciples, to be on fire for the Lord. And the Blessed Mother will help us through that.
Certainly.
And there is going to be a major Our Lady Lavang site here.
Yes.
And tell us about that.
Well, Bishop Kevin Van, he's very kind and the first thing when he came here as a bishop, you know that how he is. He's very pastoral.
Right.
He's well loved by people.
Absolutely.
God bless him.
Yes.
And so he was well loved by people, and he went around, he listened to everybody, and he realized that, you know, this community right here in Orange County, you know, the Vietnamese populations is probably the biggest one outside of Vietnam. This is the biggest one in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the Catholic populations, you know, in our diocese is, you know, the most, you know, populous one, you know, comparing with any Vietnamese communities in the world. And so he came in and he listened to all the stories. And in each and every stories, it is the story of, we call what, the resurrections. The story of what, you know, in the midst of suffering, pain, hurt, loss, and despair, it was the story, it was the experience of resurrections. The love for God, and then the, you know, the call to be the disciple of Jesus. And he was very familiar with, you know, the Vietnamese as well, because he came from the diocese that, you know, while before he came here, you know, he helped them to build what, you know, the biggest church in the whole United States.
Hmm.
In Texas.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yes. And so he learned and he understood them perfectly. And then when they come and they express the desire to have, you know, a place for Our Lady of Lavan, Our Blessed Mother, to be, you know, in the presence of the midst of their own, you know, or despite all the sufferings and everything they went through. And he was generous enough to say that, yes. But you see that, you know, even if we have that site here at the cathedral, we call Christ Cathedral, the cathedral of our diocese, the presence of that site, the presence of Our Lady of Lavan, after all, is a presence of Our Lady of Guadalupe, Our Lady of Lourdes, Our Lady
Amen.
Of Fatima.
Amen.
Because it's only one Blessed Mother Mary.
Amen. And we
the
have
Mother
a,
of God.
We have a deep devotion with our ministry, Spiritful Hearts, Our Lady, and Our Lady of Guadalupe. We have pilgrimages down there also.
Definitely.
And it's just so special. You gave me a book about a person who was really inspirational in your life.
Right.
A priest, correct?
Yes. Well, actually, he's a cardinal.
A cardinal now.
Yeah. No, he was a cardinal. And
was he a cardinal in prison?
He was cardinal when he passed away.
Yeah.
And then there was a cause, you know, for him, or he opened. So right
Tell
now.
Tell us about who he is.
So he was, you know, declared by the Pope as a venerable right now. He's on the staff, you know.
And who is the person? Tell us, our radio audience.
That is Cardinal Francis Xavier Nguyen Van Thuận.
Awesome. And tell us about him.
The man, we probably don't have enough time to do it at this time, but then, you know, just briefly, he is a perfect example of someone who went through suffering, and yet there was no force and no power to destroy him, because he wants them to experience what we call love and forgiveness.
Amen. Amen.
He was put in the prison for 13 years.
And what is the book that people can get to read?
The Road of Hope.
Yeah.
The Road of Hope.
And I want you to know that I read portions of it every day to remind me of saying yes in the midst of trial, in the midst of persecution, because that's a big part of what our faith journey is. This is not heaven here.
The funny things about this man was that he was put in the prison, and then he was put in the confinement. He came out from that. He never had any bitterness in himself.
Didn't he convert guards too?
Yes.
And so, yeah.
Everywhere he went, people was transformed, and then they changed.
And that's a big part. The message that your ministry does is about transformation. For these students.
Yeah.
Where they realize that Jesus is alive and wants to transform their hearts, because we're created to know him, love him, and serve him. We're created.
Yes.
Our hearts are created. Our restless, right?
Our
restless until we rest in him.
Yes.
And so for all of our listeners right now, it's just so critical to understand that this world cannot give you peace. Only Jesus can give you peace.
Yes. And then I want them to experience what, not only peace, but then hope, and most of all, God's mercy.
Amen.
St. Augustine, you know, you just quoted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have created me, O Lord.
Yeah.
And my heart will remain restless until it rests in you.
Amen.
But the fact of the matter is this. This is what, you know, I give myself to my students. The fact of the matter is this. Lord, you have created me for yourself, and your heart, Lord, your heart will remain restless until it rests in me.
Amen. And my brothers and sisters, that message is a message that God is giving you right now. It is time to say yes without any hesitation. Take that leap. You got a toe in the water. Jump in. Jump in and say yes to Jesus. You will never, ever regret it. As I think you know, I'm on the board of Loyola Institute of Spirituality and was trained by the Jesuits at Loyola and Loyola yes. Marymount, and been around Jesuits. Mm-hmm. Very proud of it and very blessed by it. And one of the teachings, at least, that I believe that Jesuit spirituality, Ignatian spirituality gives you is really the importance of discernment. For college students and for all of us, discernment is really critical. College students, they can go in a thousand different, million different directions. How do you emphasize discernment?
One thing, the first thing I share with my students was this, that, you know, you can find God in all things. That you know, you have a very positive, you know, outlook about everything around you. Ignatius of Loyola taught us to have a positive outlook of the world around us. Is it true that we were corrupted by sin, but the power of God's love and the grace that God gives to us through that power of love is far more than anything else? It surrounded us, is around us. And so, or in other words, open up the horizontal of what your understanding of everything around you, the nature around you, the conversation that you have with your friends, the piece of music that you listen today, the conversation that you just have with your professors or, you know, with someone that you just passed by. All of that, there is what we call the world of grace, the positive outlook to find God and to look for that grace in every moment of your life. And then from there, you can discern the spirit. You can open yourself and ask that, you know, well, what kinds of spirit are leading me to have that positive outlook, to be actively opened and allow that spirit of God, you know, in me and then leading me to step out of my own little comfort zone so I can be with my friends, or I can be, you know, more connected with my, you know, my parents. Or to those that who I mean seldom, you know, or somehow I don't have that often enough. I don't have the experience of allowing myself to come to them or allow them to come to me.
You know, it's so important, my brothers and sisters, that we open up our heart and let God lead us.
Yes.
I often talk about ready, fire, aim rather than ready, aim, fire. The aim is basically saying, Lord, I can't do it, but lead me. This is Deacon Steve Greco. You're on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be right back to talk more about Ignatian spirituality, the journey of college students, and what we can do to say yes to Jesus in a deeper way. We'll be right back.
The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus in the center of Orange County, are here to assist you and your family through this transition. The more than 1 acre Cathedral Memorial Gardens is unique in Orange County, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the soaring architectural gem of the Christ Cathedral campus. Cathedral Memorial Gardens now has beautiful glass front niches. Single, companion, and family four spaces are now available with interior LED lighting with decorative trim that will display your loved one's urn with dignity forever. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102. 714-489-6102.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're back here on Powered by the Spirit with just someone that I just can't say enough admiration and I guess just thankfulness.
Thank you, Steve.
Father Francis Vu.
You're so kind.
Who is the chaplain for UCI students, Catholic students. And he is, I'm just so fortunate that he is at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, where I am at, where the students come to be ministered to. And we've been talking about you know, that journey, the journey of faith, the Catholic journey that we all need to go through, and how Ignatian spirituality is so critical because it teaches college students, but teaches all of us how much that God loves us, and we need just be open to that love.
The understanding of God first comes to the experience of how to discover that love is available around you. And the students, you know, and oftentimes they know it, but they don't understand it. They know that their parents love them enough to give them, you know, support financially or different ways for them, you know, makes their formation possible. But in order to understand that and then express that love to others.
And part of that process that I see is the joy that you bring to the sacraments and the joy that you bring the Mass.
Yes.
Because if we truly understand the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, it changes everything. You know, it does change everything. My brothers and sisters, those that, and almost all of you, if not all of you, know people that have left, they're former Catholics, they've left, they come back to you, they tell you about how great this new church is or whatever. But if they don't have the Eucharist, my brothers and sisters, were given to us for our joy, to build us up, to bless us. And the way you experience Mass is joyful. And tell us about the sacrament of the Eucharist and the Mass.
Well, the Eucharist, as you say, it cannot be the experience of what the piety or the or devotion only. It has to be more than that.
Yes.
You know, the Eucharist, we understand that, you know, while they're like a coin, we have two sides, right? And one side, you know, where we see that, you know, the Lord's breaking the bread and giving it to the disciples and telling them that, you know, this is my body and this is my blood. And do this in memory of me and then make sure to be nurtured by that. But on the other side, if you look at the John Gospel, it is about washing at the feet.
Yes.
To serve.
Yes.
To get in touch with one another.
Yes.
To be there for one another. And so when they come to the Eucharist, they celebrate the mystery of God's love for them. Precisely in the, first of all, you know, when we consecrated it, the bread and wine to become what the body and the blood of Christ. And when they come to receive a communion, you know, what did I say to them? I said that they don't just come and then, you know, what, just see that, oh, the presence of God in the bread and wine, this is the presence of our Lord right there. But when you receive the communion, when the priest saying that this is the body of Christ, it's not just the body of Christ, it is the life of Christ, it is the mission of Christ, it is a relationship of Christ, it is the love of Christ, it is the forgiveness of Christ, it is the hope and the mercy of Christ for those who are around Him. When you receive the body of Christ and you say amen, you receive all of that.
Amen. Amen.
So if you receive all of that, you bring the people who connects you with all of what you just proclaim and profess when you receive that communion.
And my brothers and sisters, do you not want that on a daily basis?
And so therefore, you have to bring that joy into what you want to share to people.
Yes.
Otherwise, people wouldn't take it.
Yes. And for so many people, they don't understand that God wants to share Himself with us through His body and blood, through His presence. And you don't want that just once in a while. You know, you want that as often as you, I mean, every day.
And I said to the student too, when you receive Christ, you receive the gift, and you also you receive the giver.
Amen.
The gift and the giver are one. You don't just want to come and receive the gift of His presence.
Amen.
But you want to receive He Himself, a giver.
Amen. Amen. We are so blessed, my brothers and sisters, as Catholics, to have the beautiful Mass, to have the Eucharist. But we're also blessed to have the sacrament of reconciliation, something that I believe in so strongly.
Definitely.
Because we're all weak.
Yes.
I mean, you look at Romans chapter 7, where Paul says, I do what I don't want to do, you know, and despite the fact we may want to do things, we struggle, we fall, we have our own thorns in our side or whatever it might be. But Jesus is there with open arms, and we need not be afraid of reconciliation. But in Ignatian spirituality, the concept of examine to examine our own conscience and our day helps prepare us for reconciliation. Your thoughts?
You know what it is about what the word examine conscience? You put in a very plainly language is this. Get in touch with those moments you already encounter with God, but in your busy daily situation, you didn't have time for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Giving you an example, in the morning, I told the students that when you on the way, when you go from your dorm to your classroom and you encounter, you know, someone that it was very kind to you, you just listen to very good music, and then all of a sudden it helps you, you know, to get in touch with, you know, while the kindness and love that you have in yourself. And you probably don't even know that. You don't even have a chance to name that it is an experience of God.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even, were not conscious about what that is, what the gift that God is giving to you.
Amen.
And at the end of the day, when you sit down and you just say it to, you know, to yourself, said, "Dear Lord, I have a very good day today. And so what is it that makes me to have the experience of a very good day today?" List them out.
Amen.
And that is the chance for you to understand that without God, without the presence of God, in all those experiences, what, you know, those moments, you probably don't have that, what we call a good day.
Amen.
And so examine conscience and help them to get in touch with, number one, God's grace or God's moments in our life. And then the second thing is that when you become more aware about grace, love, you want to do something about it. And how do you do something about it when all of a sudden you become so aware that, oh my God, I am not worthy because there was a lot of thing that prevented me not to do this. Forgiveness now comes into place. You ask for forgiveness because all of those moments that were so positive, and yet you haven't done anything about responding to those moments. You ask for God's forgiveness stemming just from there first before you get into something deeper. And then at the end, you ask God to give you a grace to receive the forgiveness from others.
Amen. And you talk a lot about mercy and
mercy,
you know, divine mercy, and
yes,
divine mercy chaplet is also very important, my brothers and sisters. But to receive the fullness of the holiness that God wants us to have and the spiritual blessings, we have to have that spirit of forgiveness of ourselves and other people.
And other people too.
And part of that forgiveness of other people and ourselves means that we come in touch with humility. We come in touch. It's hard at times to go to, especially someone you know, or so, but anybody, you know, and say, "Hey, I blew it. I did this."
Yes.
It's not easy. But to be humble is on the road to holiness.
We all knew that God already forgave us when we offended at Him.
Yes. Yeah.
But how haven't we totally experienced and then called that our own?
Yes.
So through the confessions or reconciliations, the sacrament reconciliations, we own that experience.
Amen.
We learn to say, "This is me. This is mine. This is my experience. This is the for my forgiveness to others. This is my experience of God forgiving me."
Right.
I own that moment.
Amen.
And unless if I say that, unless if I have the way or the chance to profess that, is always in there, is always in my intellectual mind.
Amen.
But I can never truly allow that holy to be there for me.
My brothers and sisters, those of you listening in, no matter what your age is, God wants to shower us with blessings, does shower us with blessings, but we need not block those blessings by ignoring Him, by not participating in the sacraments, in the Mass, in reconciliation, through prayer. Father Francis Vu, the chaplain at UCI, is someone who has his door open for reconciliation.
Always.
For
we
students.
Have, in fact, that, you know, wow, you know, we have a sacrament of reconciliation every day.
Amen.
Every moment.
Amen.
Any times. They can drop me a note and they can drop me an email and say that, you know, "Father, I want to have a confession." Say, "Welcome." And then we arrange time for them.
And do you have a website or?
We do have a website. In fact, that, you know, they can just Google and, you know, wow, UCI, Catholic, you know, community at UCI, and then you will see our website there, and then everything's in there.
Great.
And so everybody, you know, more than welcome, you know, to come and to visit our community or to experience Spirit of God's love, you know, in our lives, you know, through, you know, the students.
I know it's summertime, but
we will resume our schedule back, you know, in October. We follow the quarter system, so we started it late because we ended it late.
So in October, if they want to attend a mass, when would that be?
It will be at 5 p.m., always 5 p.m.
5 p.m.
It's easy to remember, but, you know, we have five fingers, so 5 p.m., high five.
And then also on Sundays?
It's the 5 p.m. mass on Sunday.
Right.
At St. Elizabeth and Seton Church.
Nine Hill Gate.
Yeah, Nine Hill Gate. Yeah, and during the week we have a different hours. But basically, it always starts around 6:30 p.m. Sometime, you know, like on Tuesday, for instance, we have a Holy Rosary before the Mass.
It's such a blessing to be with you and talk about how much God loves us and spirituality, Ignatian spirituality, for our Vietnamese listeners on our radio network. Perhaps you could give them a very short message in Vietnamese.
Yes. Thank you, Deacon Steve. Thưa anh chị em, cảm ơn anh chị em đã có dịp hoặc là có thời giờ, có cơ hội đang nghe chúng tôi trên đài radio của địa phận Orange của chúng ta. Anh chị em biết được chúng tôi làm việc với các em sinh viên tại UCI. Xin anh chị em tiếp tục cầu nguyện cho công việc của chúng tôi và công việc mà chúng tôi đang làm, cũng như là cầu nguyện cho các em sinh viên. Và hy vọng có một dịp nào đó chúng ta sẽ được gặp nhau. Mời anh chị em có dịp đến viếng thăm cái cộng đoàn nhỏ nhỏ của chúng tôi ở trên Đại học UCI. Anh chị em có thể mở website, anh chị em có thể Google Catholic Community at UCI. Anh chị em sẽ thấy được cái địa chỉ ở trên đó.
Awesome. And Father, could you close us out in prayer and give us a blessing?
Deacon, how often do I hear the deacon pray for me?
Are you passing the football over here to me?
I want to hear the deacon pray.
Well, Heavenly Father, we are so blessed to say yes to you, to have that gift of the Holy Spirit within our hearts. And we ask, Lord God, that we open up our hearts to say yes to you. And we ask a special blessing upon Father Francis and his community at UCI, upon all priests, deacons, religious, and all lay leaders that are saying yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. May we be anointed and blessed and healed spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically. May we be filled with every spiritual blessing through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the intercession of Our Lady of Lavang, through the intercession of Saint Dominic, through the intercession of all holy heavenly angels and saints. In the name of Jesus, and I bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We'll be with you next week at the same time. God bless you all.
Thank you, Deacon Steve.
Thank you, Father.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Relevant Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio. Private Catholic schools offer a faith-centered and nurturing environment. In an increasingly secular and strained world, Catholic schools provide a safe and secure education environment with faith and family at its core. Our students are instilled with profound faith, deep humility, and inspiring integrity that they will carry with them. Learn more. Visit OCCatholicSchoolsWeek.com.
Hi, I'm Chris Mueller.
And I'm Timory Millington.
Hey, on Trending, we discuss today's most relevant topics from sex to social media.
These aren't topics that are awkward or uncomfortable at all to bring up with family and friends.
We're called to be a light in the world and challenge modern ideologies for the kingdom of God and for eternal salvation.
That can feel discouraging sometimes, but here on Trending, we try to help equip you to know what's going on in the world and bring our faith into the conversation.
Hey, so listen Sundays on Relevant Radio, or you can find episodes of Trending with Chris and Timory podcast on iTunes or the iHeartRadio app.